You're listening to Penny Johnston with ABC Baby Talk Podcast.
Sunshine in Australia can be harsh, and perhaps more than anywhere in the world, we are the most aware of just how important it is to be safe in the sun. But what about babies? We know their skin would be damaged irreparably if they suffered sunburn.
You can't even tell if the skin is burning from UVA. It tends to go a lot deeper down into the skin. Your UVB is what you can see. You can see your skin going red when it's being damaged by UVB. But UVA you can't see, and that's what can filter in through those windows.
And we want them to be safe. But the chemical list on the side of sunscreen tubes is long and sounds very chemically. So how do you weigh up the risks, benefits, and pick a sunscreen for your baby, and then perhaps the greatest degree of difficulty, getting it on them? Pharmacist, mum, and skincare formulator Deborah Williams knows her sun-safe products inside out. Unlike most of us, she's even made her own sunscreen. It's a bit of a high achievement, I know. She's one of the co-founders of a skincare company for preteens called Girl Lane. Now, that's a little bit older than our baby demographic, but Deborah, I'm hoping that you can talk to us about babies and sunscreen. And babies, I guess, are known for their beautiful, luminous, plump, and perfect skin.
I think, first of all, it's important to identify the skin looks immaculate. It really does, like you touched on. However, it's quite different to adult skin. Underneath, it's really fragile. It doesn't have the same levels of ceramide and sterol and all those protective things that build a really effective barrier. So that's why generally baby skin becomes more dry than ours, because it doesn't have that extra layer of protection. It's more likely to dry out and get dehydrated with any change of weather. So when you then combine that with the damaging sun, particularly in Australia, you end up with very, very sensitive skin. Added to that is a dilemma that most chemical-based sunscreens, and all sunscreens in fact, aren't recommended for babies. So where do you go? It does make it really difficult when you're trying to navigate through the products and identify which products might be suitable for such young skin. So I guess, Penny, I'll touch on the recommendations for children under 6 months and over 6 months. Would you like me to go through those?
That would be fantastic. Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out, because, I mean, you do tend to look at a baby and go, oh, my goodness, look at that skin. It's edible, for one thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And you just assume that it's going to be so plump and juicy and able to regenerate very well.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's not the case. And it's not until damage happens that we start to try and treat it. Whereas if we're more proactive and we know what to do and when to do it, the skin's going to stay like that for a lot longer. So for a child who's under 6 months, we actually don't recommend that they're exposed to sun at all. And it's actually easier to do that than what you think, because they're not particularly mobile. So it's very much up to us to keep them out of the sun and keep them in shade. And also knowing, though, that while they're in shade, they can still get sunburnt from reflective surfaces. So we have to keep on their hats and have their eye protected as well. But we need to cover up all parts of their skin at all times. The other issue is that if we do use a chemical-based sunscreen, because they don't have that barrier I was talking about before, more of those chemicals are actually absorbed into the skin than what they are in older children or adults. So they're more prone to sensitivity from those chemicals, that if we wait until later to expose them, they're not going to have that same allergy that they may have had. So shade and protective clothing are really the key when it comes to children under 6 months of age, which, as I said, sometimes feels difficult, but that's where we have to land with that. When it comes to older children, so over 6 months of age, we can start to introduce sunscreens. But again, you go to the shelf and you have to navigate through the different types of sunscreens. So there's chemical sunscreens, and there's also the metal oxide-based sunscreens. And they're the ones that I would always recommend for really young skin. So they're your zinc oxides and your titanium oxides. And what they do is they actually sit on top of the skin and they bounce off that UV radiation and scatter it, so it doesn't get absorbed deep down into the skin. And the reason I recommend them for younger children is because they have very, very low incidence of allergy, and they're also really gentle and very, very broad spectrum.
It seems really counterintuitive because if you're looking at ingredients, I'm going, oh, zinc, oxide, they sound terribly dangerous.
Yeah, they do. They're naturally occurring metals, so they're actually one of the safest compounds to use on the skin. And a lot of those new natural makeups that are used in older people are all zinc-based. So it's a very, very safe compound and it doesn't absorb into the skin. It sits on top, so it provides that protective barrier all the time. So it's very, very gentle. They're actually more broad spectrum than any of the chemical-based filters. When you're choosing the sunscreens that have chemicals in them, you generally need 4 or 5 of those organic compounds in order to provide the same level of protection than what you're going to get out of your zinc oxide and your titanium dioxide. One thing I think is important to point out, though, when you're buying a sunscreen, a lot of the toddler formulations are actually chemical-based. A lot of the ones that are called for sensitive skin contain exactly the same ingredients as the regular chemical filters. So they're no different, really, in a lot of the cases to regular sunscreen that we would wear. So just make sure that you're always checking that it's got that metal oxide as the active ingredient for young children.
So, Deb, in your role creating and recommending and as a pharmacist selling sunscreen, is there a product that ticks all your boxes for the youngest babies and toddlers?
Yeah, so there is one brand I can recommend that's safe for babies, and that's Ego Low Irritant. It's the only zinc oxide and titanium dioxide formulation specific for young skin. All of the other brands on the market, including your Hamiltons and things, they still have those chemical filters, which I definitely would avoid for really young skin. They're great for us, and they're actually great for sort of tweens onwards, those chemical filters, because they feel more comfortable on the skin. So they're going to be more compliant with their application. But for really young ones, it's all about the zinc.
And again, it seems sort of counterintuitive, but you are looking for those metals.
Yeah.
And I have heard some talk about the nanoparticles. There was a bit of a move a couple of years ago saying that they were untested as in their effects on young skin.
Yeah. The particle size of they tried to do two things. The main issue with compliance when it comes to using a zinc oxide-based or a titanium oxide-based sunscreen is it has that ghostly white appearance on the skin, which is fine for young children and toddlers. But as they get older, they don't want to have that feeling of that thick, white skin. So companies responded by producing smaller molecules so that it was less visible and it took away that white appearance of the skin but still gave the same level of protection. Some studies showed that, there was certainly some concern around how nanoparticles were inhaled, so using them in a cream or a lotion form won't have that same effect. And there was also, with sunscreens, they actually coat each particle to stop absorption into the skin. The only way that zinc oxide and those nanoparticles will penetrate through the skin is if the skin is broken. The particles are still too large to actually go down the skin further than the first couple of layers. So there's no need to be concerned.
Okay. And so is that also a hint to stay away from spray-on sunscreen for smaller children?
I'm glad you touched on that because I must admit I've grabbed an aerosol-based sunscreen myself from the shelf that's 50-plus because my toddler's crawling around. I've got a 1-year-old and, you know, just to try and give him a quick spray with sunscreen seemed like the easiest way to get him protected. But there was a study that was done recently in the UK that showed unless you're spraying that aerosol-based spray for 8 seconds, you're not going to achieve the SPF level that's on that bottle. Generally speaking, we only spray for 1 to 2 seconds per limb at best, and so we're only achieving about a quarter of the sun protection factor that we think we are. So I think the most important thing is to use a cream or a lotion. You can see where it's going, and you do need to be really, really generous with it. And I think the best way to do that is to show your children what you're doing. So I'd say from the age of 3 onwards, get your child to put on their own sunscreen under supervision in front of a mirror, but get them to mimic what you're doing. That's the best way to teach them how to protect their skin from the sun.
Because let's face it, this is just the start of a journey. You are going to have to apply sunscreen all the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And especially when they're so young, they're outdoors and they're so active. Reapplying every 2 hours is so important. As adults, we do spend more intermittent time in the sun. So our sunscreen can be sort of an SPF 15, but for children, it really has to be SPF 50 plus all the time. And getting them into that early routine makes it a healthy routine instead of being that annoying, mum nagging me to put on my sunscreen each day. We want to make it something that they can own.
And I guess for babies, we're really talking about a physical barrier, so a muslin over their body if it's a really hot day.
Yeah, absolutely. That it's very hard because they do tend to overheat as well because they're not able to regulate their temperature as well as we are. And again, that comes from that immature skin. So muslins are fantastic. Really light clothing is fantastic. A wide-brimmed hat always. And as I said, making sure that we're noticing what reflective surfaces are around us and we're keeping the children well away from those as well.
What about in the car? Are you a big stickler for those shades that you can put on the car?
Absolutely. When it comes to sun coming through the car, it's the UVA that is the issue then. And the problem is you can't even tell if the skin is burning from UVA. It tends to go a lot deeper down into the skin. Your UVB is what you can see. You can see your skin going red when it's being damaged by UVB. But UVA you can't see, and that's what can filter in through those windows. So whether you're at home in front of a window or whether you are in the car, you need to be wearing those sunshades, absolutely.
And what about, I'm going to really throw the hardest questions at you today, okay. Deb. What about the vitamin D that we do need from sunshine? How do you make it work, the balance between the two?
Absolutely, and that's a question that I'm posed with a lot, I suppose. But there's no evidence that wearing sunscreen is going to affect your level of vitamin D absorption whatsoever. And not only that, we do source vitamin D from our diet as well. So salmon, cheeses, dairy, they're all really high in vitamin D. So while the sun is our primary source of vitamin D, we can still get it from our diet as well. So that balance is really important. And you only need around 10 to 15 minutes of sunshine to adequately get your levels of vitamin D each day.
Also, Deb, the SPF, for years and years our government stuck with 30 and we've crept into 50. What's the difference between the two, and are we going to get SPF 1 million at some stage?
I think I have read up to SPF 75. SPF 50 does block out about 98% of the UVB ray. So SPF is the sun protection factor, and it's measuring the UVB that your body absorbs or that we want to protect your body from, because that's what we can see as the redness on the skin. So the way that it's measured is we apply sunscreen to the skin and UVB is radiated, and we measure the time it takes for that skin to become burnt. And then we divide that by the length of time it takes for the skin to burn with no sunscreen. So with an SPF of 30, it takes about 300 minutes for the skin to burn. When the skin has no sunscreen, it takes about 10 minutes. So if we do 300 divided by 10, it comes out with the SPF of 30. It still blocks 97% of UVB rays, so it still has a very high protection. The SPF 50 plus is 98%, and that might seem quite negligible, but it does equate to about 3 extra hours of sun exposure. And if people are really highly sensitive to the sun, it can make a huge difference. So we always push for that SPF 50 plus.
So we all want to spend some time on the beach and having fun, but how does your sunscreen react with the water?
Yeah. So sunscreen is only effective as the user who is using it. So the three main issues we find are people don't apply enough sunscreen. So an adult needs to apply between 35 and 45 mil of sunscreen per application. So a baby needs to apply around 15 to 20 mil for the whole body, and it needs to be done every 2 hours. So regardless of whether or not the sunscreen says it's water resistant for a period of time, application should happen every 2 hours. It also should be reapplied after swimming or exercise. And as toddlers are getting moving, they're wiping their skin down with their towels. That's removing the sunscreen. They touch their bodies a lot. That's removing the sunscreen. So it's really important that we reapply and cover all parts of the body. So the parts that are often forgotten are the ears, the neck, the top of the feet. I used to always forget the top of the feet on my little ones, and they suffered. And being generous with your application is really important as well. And lastly, I guess storing the sunscreen correctly. A lot of people will keep the sunscreen in the car for those hot days in the beach. It's going to destabilize and it's going to separate and it's going to become less active. So just making sure sunscreen's always stored below 30 degrees is going to help with its longevity as well.
Your role as a pharmacist as well is actually coming up with mixes of things like sunscreen, and you've got an actual range for teenagers, which is probably not quite so good for the babies. But how do you know when to pick a good one?
Look, our range, so I formulated products sort of from the age of 7 up to 14, and the whole idea behind it was to try and engage and empower these tweens, we'd call them, to actually look after their own skin and to be applying their own sunscreen. And we tended to find that without ownership of something, they were less likely to do it. Plus, their skin is different. Their skin is going through some changes. It's certainly producing more oil and sebum. So they tend to need to apply sunscreen more frequently. They start to develop blemishes, and that can also cause pigmentation of the skin. So, you know, understanding what they're going through, as we all were as tweens and teens, and those body changes and challenges, and matching up ingredients to ensure that not only were they effective, but that the kids were going to want to use them. So there's no point in producing a wonderful product if they're not going to engage with it and understand it and enjoy using it. So it certainly was a challenge that I loved, because I do have children of my own, and I really want to protect their skin all the time. And I found it was really important not only to include the sunscreens, but also understand and identify that there are other ingredients that you can put into a sunscreen that'll be really beneficial, particularly for their tweens. And that would be your vitamin E, and that's going to protect against cell mutation, which can occur with sun damage. And it also helps the sunscreen work more efficiently as well, and it feels nice on the skin. And we also have included aloe vera just to increase hydration and make sure the skin's not drying out over time. And it helps them regulate their body temperature as well and reduce that heat that can happen when they're busy
outside,
playing on the beach.
Mm. Well, Deb, were you ever tempted to mix up your own sunscreen for your babies?
Absolutely. And it's actually easier than what you think. So, you know, as I said, zinc oxide is a really prominent ingredient in a lot of baby products, particularly for nappy rash and things, because it's got that occlusive thick layer and it's quite cooling and very gentle. So most definitely I did. But the time, you know, you're busy doing everything else when they're babies.
I know. Oh, Deborah, what about time of day? I mean, obviously midday when the sun's at its height on a really scorching day, this is not the time to be carting a baby down to the beach with all the reflected light and high UV.
Yeah, that's right. So when the UV levels are above about 3, we need to enforce and engage in sun protection all the time. So you can actually find that information pretty readily on the radio, in the newspaper, and on lots of apps as well, smartphones and the Bureau of Meteorology website as well. When the UV levels are below 3, and that's usually the winter months, sort of from May to August, sun protection isn't as vital, but we'd still, as I said, recommend babies are kept out of the sun. The 11 to 3 rule still applies. We really want to seek shade during those really hot periods of the day where the UV is going to be at its highest.
So between 11 and 3, they're the worst times. If you can perhaps time your visits outside to the pool between those times, that's going to be safer for everybody.
Yes, that's right.
And I suppose we shouldn't really leave out the mums as well. You can sometimes be so busy slathering the babies that you kind of forget about yourself, but you've still got to be careful.
Oh, absolutely. Any part of the skin that's exposed to the sun should be covered all the time. And I think also we can mimic for our little ones. So wearing a hat, I don't know about you, but my kids were constantly pulling off their hat, and I never used to wear a hat. And I think now I've got another little toddler, I'm constantly wearing a hat because I think you know, he's going to mimic my behaviour and more inclined to look after it. And having someone who can help you apply your sunscreen to the back, kids are fantastic at that. They love taking on that role of being sunscreen applicator.
Thank you so much for busting the myth of the zinc and titanium. Mm. I think me, like a lot of other mothers, might have gone,
it sounds dangerous, doesn't it? And then you hear organic chemical filters and you think, oh, organic, that sounds great. But all that actually means is that it's a chemical compound that contains a carbon molecule. So again, again, it's trying to navigate through in order to make the best decision for your baby, which is what you want to do.
I suppose one of the other things is we could talk about is how long does your sunscreen last and whether you should be avoiding ones that certain chemicals. I mean, it's a selling point for some sunscreens.
I think it's important to know that every single sunscreen that is on the market that has an SPF has been tested by the Therapeutic Goods Administration and had to pass specific tests. So while some sunscreens might cost $50 and some might cost $20, if they're both SPF 50+, they are both as effective as each other in providing some protection for your baby. So, you know, price is not a compelling reason you're going to get the same level of protection no matter what you choose. Sometimes the feel might be a little bit different, so a more expensive sunscreen may feel nicer on the skin and a cheaper sunscreen may feel a little bit more sticky, and that can be an issue for children if they're uncomfortable with wearing it. But really, sunscreens are very much equivalent as long as you're reading that they're the correct SPF.
Are the preservatives something that you should worry about in the formula?
I think more and more on the shelves of my pharmacies, I'm seeing products that say paraben-free. And obviously, as a person with a real passion in skincare and formulating myself, I've had to do a lot of research behind the how and the why parabens suddenly became a talking point when it came to preservation of products, because it's been used for around 70 years in skincare and cosmetic products. And there's not a real push for it to be removed from cosmetics, but there is from skincare. And there was one study out of thousands which showed that there were slightly higher levels of parabens in some breast tumours, which sounds very alarming and is a good reason to research it further. But there's been no link with it affecting any estrogen or causing any issues, and the levels that occur in sunscreens are very, very low. Parabens is one of the few preservatives which is hypoallergenic. It's very, very rare that we'll see any allergies to it, and it also is very effective as an antifungal, antibacterial and antiviral. So we're still trying to work through good alternatives. We use a different preservative in our products called phenoxyethanol. It's often used in combination with parabens or by itself, and the challenges are still there to try and find a good alternative. It's very much a consumer-driven want, if for want of a better word, that I think parabens will be phased out probably within about 10 years, but there's actually no cause for alarm. It's often not listed as parabens on sunscreens. You'll find it listed under preservatives, hydroxybenzoates. So it is, rest assured, it's been used for 70 years. It's very safe and very effective. However, we continue to evolve and look for more effective and appropriate preservatives.
Pharmacist and skincare formulator, Deborah Williams. Just about everything you didn't know you needed to know about sunscreen this week. Well, Baby Talk, if you've just discovered us, is a weekly podcast published on iTunes and on the ABC Radio app. ABC Baby Talk will find us on the ABC website, on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest as well. On Facebook, we post regularly. It's a great way to keep up to date with our podcasts as they're published. I'm Penny Johnston, and I'll see you next time you find us on Baby Talk. Baby Talk.